Hello, you're listening to the Hamerty Brothers e-commerce podcast. If some of our discussions and tips are working for you, why don't you grab a 15-minute call with us at ecommercecall.com. We'll see whether we can help scale your e-commerce business. We will quickly see if we're a fit or whether we can recommend someone else to get you where you need to go. The worst case is you'll have a fun 15-minute chat, and regardless, you'll come away understanding a lot more about your business. Book a call at ecommercecall.com. Hello and welcome to the Hamerty Brothers e-commerce podcast. This week, Ian and I are diving into split testing for e-commerce. When you should use it, why you should use it, and when you shouldn't use it. And so, let's get started. Hi Ian, how are you today?
Hi Mark, very good. How are you doing?
I'm all right, I'm good. Today, which we talked about, we're going to talk a little bit about split testing and when it's relevant, when it's not relevant. Because I think either people aren't into split testing at all, or they're kind of into split testing a bit too much. And so I think sometimes people can think it's kind of like a little bit of a panacea and basically it'll solve all their problems. But so I just wanted to dive into it a little bit and understand, you know, well, tell people when they should be doing it, when they shouldn't be, and also which places they can split test. I mean, I'm not sure whether we want to get into actual tools that we use. You can if you want, just more the kind of fundamental ideas around it. So you had some thoughts,
yeah,
Ian.
Yeah. I think the first thing about split testing for me is actually sometimes it can be a complete and utter waste of time and another famous shiny bit of paper that we talk about. Because, you know, if your business isn't ready for split testing, what I mean by that is if you're small, don't waste any time. You know, like with e-commerce, there's no magic wand. So this is just my precursor, because I'm a big fan of split testing. But my precursor is, it can be a complete waste of time. And, you know, there is no magic wand to e-commerce. You know, the fact of the matter is, if you had a shop in the Trafford Centre and you were selling product that is naff, that's more expensive, and your value proposition's poor, you're not going to sell anything. You know, but if you've got product that people want, you've got desirability. If you're selling your own brand and you've got desirability, or you're selling other people's brands and you've really focused in on the pain points and the anxiety and you're really competitive, you bang on it with your offer architecture, you're gonna sell. Like, so, you know, take this extreme example. Let's say you are selling online, you know, laptop screens, and, you know, you've got model LG 1234 and you're selling it for £300. And everyone else is selling it for £200. And you decide to do a split test on the color of green on your ads basket button, you know, the shade of green. You know, what's going to have a bigger impact? Getting your pricing architecture right or the color of the ads basket button? You know, so it's obviously a complete waste of time if you've not got the foundations right. You've got to get the foundations right. No point split testing until you're doing, you know, at least a million a year.
Well, I always say that you need 100 transactions in a month coming through that page. So if your homepage, when people come through your homepage and buy more than 100 items a month, then you can do a split test. But if you want to do it on a product page, that product, the traffic coming through that product page needs to do 100 transactions a month. And that's really when you start to have enough data to at least give you a sniff of statistical relevance. So any split testing tool will tell you, oh, this one's winning, but it's only got like a statistical relevance of 60%. And you really need 95, if not 99, to kind of give you
an idea. You know, sometimes you don't have enough traffic either. So it's, you know, you're making decisions on not enough data. And also, You know, it can be very irrelevant. If you've got people who are very motivated to buy, they come to your site and they happen to see one version of the split test versus someone who isn't. You know, not all traffic's equal. You know, someone might be really motivated to buy and someone not, you know, they all come at different journeys. So, you know, split testing can be an absolute load of rubbish, especially when people bang on about, you know, changing the colour of buns. You know, I'm not talking about if the fact that you add to basket button blends into the background, that's probably quite important. But if it's, you know,
if you grade it out,
you can't see it. It depends on the level of your business. Now, if you're doing 20 million and you change the shade of your colour of the button, you know, it probably could have quite a big impact. And you want to know this stuff. But fundamentally, you've got to get the offer architecture, the value proposition right. And you don't need any split test to tell you that. You know, go and listen to the podcast and read the book and come and download some of the collateral that we've got. You know, you can we'll give you all the answers anyway. Don't waste time. Having said that, let's assume now that you are interested in split tests. And I think, you know, the question is, what should you split test? You know, when should you split test? Now, first of all, you know, we've got a load of split test results over the years that we've done that we're happy to share.
Well, actually,
and I'm going to pick out
the when people buy the book from www.ecommercebook.co.uk, you actually, the bonus is the split test. So they actually get the split test with the book. A lot of people who bought the book probably have not looked at that. So go and have a look at it if you haven't realized you've actually got that, because you get a split testing video in there. So that's worth having a look at.
Yeah.
And if you haven't got the book, what are you doing? Go and get the book.
Exactly. So I'm going to pick out a couple of split tests that we've done over the years, which I think quite interesting. You know, and I think we've done ones where we've had models looking certain directions, models looking other directions. But actually, I think, they're not so interesting, are they? But you're supposed to get ones that models are looking towards the website, not away. Models are doing this sounds like a bloody shade of green, Mark. This is ridiculous. Why am I reading this out?
No, let me tell you. Let me talk about where I use split testing for, where I use it. So let's say I'm trying to sell a women's shirt. And let's say my return on investment on that women's shirt is times 3.5. So I'm for every £10 I'm spending, I'm getting £35 back. And let's say the customer doesn't make money until they maybe get to 4.5 times. So I can see there's a lot of traffic coming for that shirt that I can grab hold of. I can see I'm making some sales, and I can see it's all going through maybe this top landing page. So therefore, I would then do a split test on that landing page to decide, A, what image I might use, maybe what title I might use, how I position the returns policy and all those kind of things, and how I actually position everything on that page. Because what I'm trying to do is get the return on ad spend up from 3.5 to 4.5, because I can see there's a huge amount of traffic for it there. So some of the split tests you're talking about, where does the model look, is I was selling men's jackets, and I found, because a customer would give me lots of different images and I just randomly put them on the top of categories, you know, at the beginning. And then I was like, well, this category, I really needed to have a slightly higher return on investment for the advertising. So I started experimenting with the different images on the categories. And I found that if the man was looking directly at the camera, if you were looking into the model's eyes, that reduced the conversion. Whereas if a woman was looking into the man's eyes, that increased conversion. So it was these subtle things for this specific customer that actually made quite a difference to how the first perception of that page converted. And the best one was when the man was actually looking towards my offer text. So he was like looking from left to right, and the offer was like, you know, 55% off this suit today. And that was one of the biggest learnings, was actually using the model at the top of the category to direct the user's view to where they want to go. If the model was looking off to the left, it kind of like indicated that the customer would then click backwards.
Yeah.
So that was where I kind of found a lot about, I mean, that was very specific to that customer, because it was all about, I mean, clothing is very image led. And if it is image led, you've got to think about the image that tells 1,000 words, but what are the 1,000 words that that image is telling? And that is really important. So, and it was quite subtle what images I was putting at the top of the categories and what images I was having on the homepage actually made a big difference. It was between about a 20% increase on some images. Like if I put in like a tuxedo at the top of the categories, it just, the sales just died, even though that was one of the products that we'd got in the photo shoot. And it was kind of knowing this and then having that knowledge, we can then go back to the next photo shoot and say, look, guys, these are the kind of photos we need. We need the guy to be looking for this way. We need this kind of emotion to be said. We need the shot to be done, you know, above the waist, and this needs to be in the background. And that knowledge gave us a lot more information than kind of just going to the photographer saying, oh, just take things that look nice, or whatever you feel in the moment. It was like, well, you can do what you want, but I actually need these specific shots from you because I know they're going to convert a lot higher. And it was giving us a lot more information based on the split tests that I would never have known.
I think the cool thing about split tests is that once you see it working, you're then able to invest more time into it. And that's why it's quite an addictive thing. I mean, I actually really enjoy this bit of a game. You know, you roll out some change and you think, oh my God, that was much more successful than I thought. Right, let's push that harder. What can we do to make that better? I mean, that's a bit like the Sweetie Page stuff that we've done, where between the basket and the checkout, where we've created this page to get the average order value up that sits between the basket and the checkout. And it's like a no-no in the world of, you know, the so-called e-commerce guys, where they would say, you know, your checkout's got to be a, you know, a very small, you know, two-step process is better than a three-step. And we went, well, we don't believe that. So split test it. So we added this sweetie page, which is a bit like, we call that because it's where you buy the sweets at the petrol station. You know, when you're about to fill up, you know, you see the sweets there. So yeah, go and buy it. And you know, and that was really interesting. We basically did a really basic one first to see if it would work. Split tested it with some very basic products on, and it worked. And the average order value went up. So we then, without any effect to conversion rate, so then we pushed it harder. And kept pushing hard, and we were much more sophisticated with it.
We would have never known, really, would we? One of the interesting tests that we did as well was, like, you know, when you see people putting on, it was like a rage for a long time to put quick view on the category pages. Go, oh, yeah, people can quick view and they can see the product and stuff. And so, we split tested that. I don't think we kind of thought, oh, this will be better, but we'll put a split test on, because we started to get quite a lot more advanced with being able to switch things on and off with CSS and things like that, and show different variations. So we just got into the habit of split testing everything we rolled out just to see what happened. And we found that actually quick view actually reduced the conversion rate quite a lot. Because if you think about it, these were shirts, and people were just click view. And I think it was that they weren't able to kind of get the full confidence of the shirt from the quick view, even though
so just to make it clear, this is where you're on the product listing page, the category page, and you can hover over the image and you can buy it from the category page rather than taking them into the product page. And if you think about it, it's like going into a shop that's a lovely, beautiful shop selling beautiful shirts, and somebody, you know, not letting you touch it, and it's wrapped in the package. You can't try it on. You can't feel the fabric. You can't see the fit. You know, that's it. Do you want it? It's like, no, you're gonna go, no way. So we split tested it. And it also, you know, if you think that if your customers are only buying, you know, let's say, you know, the lifetime customer value, or the you know, how many times they buy a year is about 1.5 a year, if you look at on average. So you're only people are buying 1.5 times a year. So when they come to your site, you know, like once a year, you know, to buy, you know, and again, they only buy 1.5 items per order on average. you know, are they, you know, do you want to give them this limited tiny view where all the, you know, the images aren't there and you, and all the description and frequently asked questions and all the pain points and delivery reassurances and reviews is all hidden? No. What a ridiculously stupid idea. You know, the only way it's, it works is if you're selling groceries and people are adding, you know, 10 things to basket.
Yeah, and it's, they know what it is. It's always very washing up liquid, and I don't need to go and see a full product page.
Yeah, it's like bang, bang, bang.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you're selling a, you know, a luxury, you know, an item, I mean, you know, what an awful thing QuickView is on the category. You know, split test it. I actually think it was something like 30%.
It was big. It was big.
Reduction of conversion rate at the time. It was one of those where we're like, oh my God, let's turn this off immediately. This is ridiculous. So it's one of those things. It's like, you know, everybody thinks there's a, you know, one size fits all for e-commerce. You know, that, you know, and it's like going down the high street and saying, okay, well, there's a shop selling, a, you know, beautiful silk robes and another shop next to it selling hammers. And the shop's going to be a different experience, completely different.
Well, just think of it. Think of it like an extreme example of like buying a house online, having QuickView, and they're saying, oh, here's a house. Do you want it? It's like, I could do with having a look a little bit more about the house and where it is and maybe having a look around it before I actually bought it, if that's all right.
Yeah.
You know,
it's funny because that's the same sort of thing where they go, oh, you know, the checkouts, you know, they have, we've got a one-page checkout. Brilliant. It's like, no, actually, you might actually be making it worse because people like the reassurances of seeing that, and that's why we like the basket, isn't it?
Well, it was that.
You know, we don't like to skip the basket.
That was a split test we did for Naked Wines.
Well, we can't say. Well, can we say that?
I just did say it, didn't I? Yeah.
A massive
well, that was five
company.
Years ago. It was well before they were bought by Majestic. It was when they were still a startup, and we did a split test to see whether or not skipping out the basket page was a good idea, and it wasn't.
It was a huge, I mean, that was a game changer, massive game changer. So they had the little mini basket in the header. And loads of sites, if you listen to this right now, I reckon you've probably got QuickView on your category on, and you've got the mini basket, you know, and when people click on the mini basket in the top right, this is what Naked Wines had. You clicked it and it expanded so you could see it. And then when you click proceed to basket or proceed, it took you straight to the checkout and it skipped the basket page.
Let's talk about that in terms of a physical shop. Say you were going around the supermarket and they Naked Wines, you had to buy, I think, 6 wines or 12 wines.
Yeah,
I think it was
any. You had to buy a case of any 6.
Any 6.
So there's a lot of worry there about, well, what wine should I have? You know, I want to see what they are. Do I want that? I'm not sure.
Imagine you're going around the supermarket and it's full of wines and you're filling your basket. And you might think, well, I'm going to end up with 6, but I'm just going to put the ones in the basket I might want. So you might end up with 8 in the basket. And then you come to choose which ones you want. And you can't look, you're basically not able to look into your basket properly because it's tiny. And you're having to look through a little hole into your supermarket trolley to kind of see which one. It's annoying. Whereas you want to be able to see a full basket page, go, well, actually, okay, out of those 8 wines, the one I really like, and I can see the reviews on them, I'm going to drop that wine and that wine because it's got the lowest reviews, you know?
People use the basket as a save for later. They don't use your save for later functionality. They use the basket as a dumping ground, and then they use that to then decide to eliminate. Or do they actually really want to go ahead and make the decision? And that's why it's another opportunity to actually add scarcity and urgency. So the basket page is a vital, vital step in e-commerce conversion. And you skip it out at your peril, because what happens when you click to the checkout, first thing you see is this horrible form asking you for your loads of details. Oh, my God. Oh. No,
there must be sites though that would warrant skipping out the basket stage. I mean, I imagine if it's something where it's like a massive repeat purchase, maybe like you're repurchasing the same contact lenses or something like that, maybe existing customers or something like that. That might work.
Yeah.
But it's just that most sites only tend to sell one or twice a year, and so they don't have the confidence. The consumer doesn't have the confidence to actually buy without thinking about it.
And the basket page on a lot of sites out of the box, like Magento, Shopify, et cetera, et cetera. You know, the basket page tends to be this, like, just a technology, you know, it's a tech page. It's just there to as a function. There's no understanding of the journey. You know, people say, this is where, you know, in a shop, like you say, they pick, okay, they maybe do another example. They picked up, two dresses, one blue, one red, and they're holding them up. And they go, which one do I want? Oh, I'm not sure that, you know, that'll be good. That, you know, it's a really important process. Oh, there's an offer on this one. And actually, you know, this one's got low stock. And, you know, if I don't buy now, you know, I might miss out. Oh, yeah, I'm going to get that one. You know, it's such an important step. You can't.
But also, it's like, you know, if you think about the first step of selecting the products, it's like, what might I want? That's the first thing, is what might I want? And you're deciding things on aesthetics and adding things to the basket and all that kind of stuff. When you get to the basket page, you have to answer the questions, why should I buy these now? What would happen if I actually buy these? And that's a different question. Whereas if you skip people straight to the checkout page, you're basically saying, oh, I might buy these. And you get to check it and you go, yeah, buy them. And you're like, well, I'm not sure. What's the returns policy? Why should I do this now? What's the risk to me? What have other people felt like when they're buying this product?
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
the number one thing, really, the basket page has got to do is add scarcity and urgency, really. And obviously...
And reassurance.
If you're selling other people's product, well, reassurance and a reason to buy from you, you know. Mm. So we're working with a couple of clients at the moment, particularly about this issue. We're saying, look, we want to split test, taking them to the basket, you know, as a separate stage rather than straight to the checkout. But then the basket's then got to add value. It can't just be here's a page with nothing. You've got to get into the psyche of that buying journey. And that's, in this particular case, they were selling other people's products, so other brands, and we therefore got to give them a reason to buy from us, not somebody else, and that's where we're looking at, you know, the returns. So we did the market square test, you know, so go do the market square test and you know, come back and tell us exactly what the returns policy is for everyone else, what's the guarantee, what the reassurances are, what the delivery. And then you can then find those real key differentiators, the reasons people should buy from you. And that's then what the basket page needs to communicate.
You know, and that's when you go into split testing, isn't it? And then you go, if you've got a huge amount of people coming through the basket page, you go, what's the most prominent message? Do I need to push that free delivery, or do I need to push that I've got free returns, or do I need to push?
You know what? What we want to do with split testing is, you know, the almost buyers are very, very similar to the buyers. So if your site's converting at 2%, you know, the next 1% are the ones that we want to get with split testing. You know, they almost bought, but something stopped them buying. They didn't buy. They almost did. They did everything that the buyers did. They spent 5 minutes on the site. They clicked around, you know, the 7 pages. They came back twice. You know, they added stuff to the basket. And, you know, but they just didn't go any further. So what was it? And that's what we want split testing to help us with. You know, we're not going to fundamentally make somebody buy something that they don't want to buy with split testing. You cannot convince somebody to buy this, you know, the screen, you know, the laptop screen. If you're more expensive than everybody else, they're not going to buy it. It doesn't matter how good the website is. It's the ones that almost bought that didn't that we use split test with to really help us.
Split testing is almost like if you've got a car, it's tuning the engine, isn't it? The car's already driving. You're already in the race. You're tuning it to actually become to win the race. You're not going to, you know, you're not going to just turn up with a car and go, well, the car hasn't got an engine. Let's tune it. It's like, well, there's no engine. You know, you need to have a fundamental, you need to be in the race to start with.
Well, it's like testing, you know, what exhaust you should have. Whereas, you know, you've only got a bloody 1 litre and everyone else has got Ferrari V8s. It's just ridiculous. You could just, you know, and if you could see, if your shop was a physical shop on the high street, and you could see how stupid it would be to test the colour of the floor behind the till.
Yeah.
Thinking that that's going to make, when your doors are shut, you no one can even get in. Or something stupid. We'll come up with a better analogy.
Yeah, but that's where it is. And I think I'm quite a logical, I'm quite a data driven kind of person, and I can get lost in split tests very easily. And I think that sometimes you do the fundamentals first and then you go and split test once you've got something that is working and you need to kind of get a little bit more out of it, because you can see, you know, you basically, you know, come back to those 7 KPIs in the book. You know, the reason you can't add traffic is because you can't add it more profitably. You can't add more paid traffic profitably. Mm. And so therefore you have to go back to the KPIs, and then you go, well, it's add to basket, right? Okay. What split test can we do on our product page to prove that we can increase the ads basket, maybe moving the ads basket button up, or actually changing the key things around the ads basket button that we talk about? What messaging is better? Because that's really key. And that can really convince you. And also, it's very convincing to the whole organization. You say, well, you know, if someone say, well, I don't think the button should go there, I think it should go here. And they go, well, let's split test it. And then you go, well, that's the answers. And no one can argue with that once it's statistically relevant. I have such a problem with the word statistically, especially when I'm doing the audio book. Go and listen to my audio book, the book, and listen to me try to, because I say statistical a lot. And it caused me so much trouble.
Oh,
so much trouble.
Yeah, I think doing split tests is quite nice. If you're running an e-commerce department for a bigger company, you've got to present to the board. I mean, that's such a wonderful way to present. Right, this month we have rolled out these things. These are the split tests. We made another £45,000 this month, and it cost us, you know, £400.
Yeah.
You know, that's very tangible, isn't it? You can see it.
Yeah, it is.
So I think, I think there's some real notable split tests that we've done over the years. It's probably best to actually have a look at, go buy the book and get the free... the free report, isn't it? The present, because we're adding to it quite often as well. And I think those are the notable ones. I mean, the other ones that have been quite instrumental are the ones, the related categories on the product page are quite high up. And that's an interesting one, because that's led us to really push that further. That's the bounce rate on the product page. You're pulling in related categories quite high up. And then that's then got us into the whole Google Shopping landing pages, hasn't it? That's really where that idea stemmed from, that original little split test, then spawned into a whole theory, you know.
Of what no dead end pages, basically, trying to get people to stay on the site. The only other thing I would mention split testing is email split testing, which we did a lot, you know, when can't remember exactly who it was, but I remember we were sending a million emails a day, and we had an offer. And we had to, I think we sent the first 100,000 to split test, and then we'd send the winner to the remaining. And that made a massive difference to the results.
Well, also with AdWords as well, with pay-per-click ads, we used to do split testing with that all the time. And that would then allow us to know what call to actions were working on the website as well.
That was a lot more before Google Shopping became so big, though, because we would always have landing pages on things. But you can do it now with if you've got some search ads that are working, and I think that is still very relevant. It's harder to do with Google Shopping because, well, you could do product page landing page tests with Google Shopping.
Didn't you build some software that allowed you to test if you change the image on Google Shopping, and also the title, the product title?
I did build some software where I could split test, but it would only change it every 4 hours. So it wasn't a true split test, but it was enough to give me an indication of whether or not I should be changing the titles or putting prefixes on, and maybe using images, lifestyle images instead of mannequins.
You could test image one or image two, and it would swap it and then tell you I think that was brilliant. I don't know if anyone else can do that.
I think I gave the idea to DataFeedWatch, and they I don't know if I gave the idea, but I talked to them about it, and then they released it a couple of years later. I think they can now do it in the tool. My tool got very, very complicated, and I was like, someone else please build this, basically. and they did. I think that can be quite useful as well, especially if you've got very high traffic products, because a little tweak to a title can actually make a big difference to whether you get the impression or not, or whether you get the click. And it comes down to the click-through rate, which is really important for those types of products. But, well, hopefully we've covered a little bit about split testing now. I mean, we haven't gone into any technical things, but I don't think we really wanted to. I think there's a lot of stuff about how to actually split test on the internet.
I think so. Yeah. There's loads of stuff there. I think the most important thing is to know when to do it and when not to do it, when it's a waste of time.
Yeah.
You know,
but also get your core right before you.
Yeah, get your core right. Don't go off piece too soon. You know, and actually lean on people who've already done it, because there's so many split test results out there. That, you know, you need to learn from those. And then when you look at the split test, you go, "Oh my god, that's so obvious." Of course.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much, Ian. That was a nice chatting to you again. Glad you stopped clicking so much.
Sorry, just getting excited.
Yeah, sorry, because obviously that won't come out in post production because of our.
Well, you can edit it out now with noise reduction.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. Anyway, I'll see you all next week and look forward to speaking to you. And
bye.
Have a good week, everybody. Okay. Bye-bye.